Good evening and welcome to As the Worm Turns. You are tuned into KVNF's live call-in gardening show. I'm your host, Jill Spears, here with my favorite gardeners and worms. It's Lance and Lulu in the house. Good evening.
In the house.
Good evening.
In the house. In from the chill.
Staying warm.
Staying warm.
Mm-hmm. Hi, everybody.
Good to be here tonight, and I would say that the frost is on the pumpkin.
Yeah, it was on some pumpkins. It missed mine.
missed yours, but Lance.
Mine were inside.
Just last night.
Oh,
you already
too.
Brought your pumpkins inside? Yeah. What?
Yeah, the squash.
Okay.
Yeah, mine are
no
inside,
No pumpkins
too.
In my house.
My pumpkins are inside, but I didn't get a frost.
Yeah, crazy.
It didn't
Lulu
settle.
Being here in the North Fork, Paonia, and Lance being Redlands, is that
well,
what you're
close
call
enough,
it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Close enough, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's hear what happened in your neck of the woods. 527-4868-1866. KVNF now. Jeff is in there ready to take your call. He's just got fresh off a satellite, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Physically.
Physically. That's how he spent his afternoon. So ring him up. And let's see, what's still in the ground?
What's still in the ground?
Yeah.
Oh, carrots, beets, kohlrabi.
Lots of stuff.
Kale.
Lots of stuff.
Daikons.
Parsley,
lettuce.
Collards.
Peas. Ask a silly question, get a
peas.
Silly answer.
All that cool weather stuff.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Cool to cold weather.
Right. You just said carrots, and I want to ask you about that because you decided to do what? How many beds of carrots this year?
Five beds of carrots.
Five beds.
Five.
And I'm going to start the fourth
You're
one
really
next door.
You're really a glutton for punishment. Oh. I swear to God.
Just starting number four. Just starting.
It hasn't been started. It just, that's the next one. You know what she's talking about? The glutton for punishment is thinning.
Oh, right.
It's thinning.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was talking
with carrots.
About.
That's the tedious piece of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that for about a month and a half. Every day for at least an hour.
Wow. Yeah. So two more beds to go.
Yeah.
And then we'll be counting that down for you,
But they're up and they're happy. And
their tops are 18 inches tall, you know.
Yeah.
These are big carrots.
Wow.
Yeah. I like big carrots.
And so do the people that eat your carrots.
I guess everybody else does too, including
exactly.
me. Yeah.
Yep. Hey, it's Marilyn from Paonia on the line. Good evening.
Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Hi.
I have a composting question.
Okay.
Oh, good.
I started a small compost pile 2 days ago on Sunday, and at noon today it was up to 166 degrees. I turned it to try to cool it off, but it's already up to 155 again. So what's making it so hot, and what can I do to cool it down?
You don't want to cool it down. Let it rip.
Let it rip.
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it wasn't supposed to get hotter than 150 or so.
Oh, no.
Well, no.
No.
If you want to cool it down, water it.
Well, so that might fire it up, too.
Well, she's got so much air because she just turned it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. You might water it, or you just leave it. Or you can put more carbon in there, leaves.
Okay.
So what's the deal? Because obviously she's measuring the temperature, and so what's the range that you're going for? Or is there a range?
I've never worried about it.
No, I
don't worry about it either because my range is pretty
low.
Yeah,
what kind of manure did you put in it?
Didn't have any manure this time.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, you're crushing it.
Don't worry about it. Just go for it.
Don't call us. We'll call you when we need compost. You're doing great.
Okay, that's great news.
I mean, if you're really worried, you could put some more.
What would she be worried about?
No. I really don't think so.
I mean, the cat will go and hang on the pile. We had a dog that lived on the compost pile out of the ranch because it was always so warm. It was beautiful. Yep. Yeah.
You know, and it being so hot, it will probably keep the varmints away.
Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. I just thought of something, though. How big is this pile and where is it? And what are you composting?
Well, it's small, and it's in a covered container. It's probably about 30 inches by, I don't know, 20 inches and about 30 inches high.
That's, oh, yeah, you're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine. You know, I thought, you know, maybe if you had a huge hay pile you had going or something, you know, it can spontaneous combust, but yeah. you're not in that no. league. Forget it. You're fine.
Okay.
Yeah. yeah.
All right, great.
Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds perfect.
Thank you for
Thanks.
The question.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Good deal. Getting compost going already. I suppose I should have asked her. She's probably wintering that over, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, maybe.
Well,
you
should have asked you, Marilyn.
I have a compost pile I just made last week. I've turned it once, and I will probably spread it like in November. I'm not
okay.
going to shred it, but mm-hmm. that's the there'd be coarse, and I'll just put it on the perennial beds.
And let it sit on the beds over
yeah.
the winter.
Yeah, I'll put it on the
I missed.
I'll put it on the like the perennial beds and the flower beds, things like that. Maybe I'll put it on the asparagus.
Okay.
Things like that.
Just, all right. So still okay to be making compost for
yeah.
right this season.
Yeah, for mm-hmm. this season, you know, you can probably get by. And, you know, then you most people generally make a large pile or several piles this fall and let it just sit all winter long.
All right.
And that works too.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing about, that's the beauty of compost. Just let it hang out
yeah.
and do
However,
its thing.
It
the older it gets,
you,
the
right?
better.
The older it gets, the better, yeah.
yeah. This was fine last night. I was finishing up covering things, and I'm at the compost areas, and there's this big fat toad flopping along, and it's, you know, 40 degrees.
Oh,
and,
that poor
and
thing.
And that poor thing, I grabbed it, and I dug a hole in the compost pile and put it in there.
Oh, nice.
Oh,
just so it could get out. I didn't pack it down or anything. Just
right.
enough to...
Little
yeah.
condo for the
His
night.
Little toad condo yeah. for the
mm-hmm.
night.
That's sweet. All right, 527-4868, 1-866-KBNF now. And lots of projects going on to
Aye.
Wine
oh, yeah.
this season.
Aye.
Aye.
Yeah,
Aye.
It isn't ended yet.
No.
No? My no. big project right now is getting the next bed, the next area ready for the garlic planting.
One. Yeah, that's what I'm going to move on to after
yeah.
I finish the other project.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're getting ready to do that, what, next week maybe?
Oh, I hope so.
Uh-huh. Close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah. Well, I'm in the process, and I can't get the last of it out because the one section still has cabbage and fall beets. And mm-hmm. those beets I'm saving for seed, the green Lutz or German Lutz. So I'll be, so they're there, but it's only about 15 feet. And that'll be easy to take care of. Yeah.
So once that's out,
yeah.
right in goes the garlic.
Right in
yeah.
goes the garlic. Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm hoping my spot will dry out a little too because it's pretty wet back
mm-hmm.
there. But the soil is fabulous.
Oh, great.
Yeah, it's where I had my little girls.
Oh, okay.
And so the soil is fabulous. And
they're out and it's in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you know, wonderful. It's just really nice.
Mm-hmm.
But it is kind of a shady spot, and it does stay wet, so.
Yeah, maybe let's talk about that, because it is a little bit cooler out, but the forecast looks like a lot of sun. So what about watering?
Bonafide.
Yeah, bona fide.
Bona fide.
Great
water,
season.
Yeah, if you need to. I was
if
watering Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday and Sunday I was watering.
I don't have
and
any
then
water,
if
so
you
I'm
need
not
to.
Watering.
Yeah.
You know, it.
Right,
yeah.
your whole ditch thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so
you're
and
just done for the
I'm
season.
I'm done.
I could
Don't worry
mowed.
About it.
I mowed Saturday afternoon for the last time, and I could tell there were spots that were dry, and so I just started watering them.
I thought about that too. I have not mowed since the last time we talked about
mm-hmm.
mowing.
Mm-hmm.
So my grass is really, really long, but the leaves are coming off the trees now. So
mm-hmm.
I'm thinking I might do, you know, a last mow leaf shred.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, in November.
yeah.
There you go.
After
and let it sit on your lawn.
Yeah, and
or,
just
yeah.
let mm-hmm. it sit. Yeah, it'll be fine, you know, and just really shred it up. And
lawnmowers are a great machine for shredding.
Lawnmowers are bona fide.
Mm-hmm.
I was Let's thinking go. About shredding my that Rio Grande mess, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then I thought, no, I'll spread too many seeds. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I have the energy to get out there because I still want to separate those daylilies
oh, okay.
and transplant the
mm-hmm.
the phlox, but you never know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I'm not going to stress over it.
And we have what till the ground freezes to do that, pretty much.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure.
Yeah,
okay.
Sure.
You got plenty of time.
You got plenty. Of time.
yeah.
You can plant fall bulbs in frozen ground if you're willing to break
sure,
through it.
Sure. If you're willing to
sure.
work it.
Yeah, and I've done garlic in frozen ground. mm-hmm. you know, in November, late November. So you can still do it.
Keep your tools sharp.
Yeah.
Oh, man. You know, it doesn't really even get that hard for a long time.
For a long time.
And I love what the dirt does at this time of year when it kind of softens again.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's done being all cracked and everything, and it
softens before it freezes
kinda,
a little bit.
It kind of loosens up a little bit. I love that. Makes it easy. So we'll see.
Good deal. 527-486-8186 KVNF now. Speaking of digging up daylilies, what about things like dahlias and gladiolas?
Oh, your phone is doing weird things.
Oh,
I think
well,
someone's
anyways.
Sending an email question
to
worm at kvnf.org.
Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Dahlias, you dig up, you cut them so they're about a 4-inch stem, and then you dig up and you put them in buckets of sand. And not too cold of storage, but not warm. And you just want to let them sit there in these buckets of sand. And when they come out in the spring, if they're wrinkled, just sort of put some water on them because they've dried out a little bit.
So you're going to store them inside?
Inside.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Over the winter?
Yeah. They're in my house right now.
I didn't know you did that.
Yeah.
Yeah, dahlias, you got to do that. That, you know, that wide butt.
I don't have too many.
Right. Uh-huh. And then there's zinnias.
Yeah.
And they both have about the same tolerance for cold.
Yeah.
Now, zinnias.
That's an annual.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a true annual.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they got whacked in that frost a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Went down easy.
Yeah. But then some were okay. So, you know, they rallied. And then getting ready for last night, I cut them all.
I bet your home looks beautiful with all your dahlias,
zinnias
hanging out.
And I cut a bunch of the Maximilian daisies, too, because they're pretty frost sensitive.
Mm-hmm.
But they're all still there. They were so beautiful this morning in the sun. Oh.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah.
The gladiolas, though.
Gladiolas.
The glads.
Generally speaking, you're supposed to dig those also, and you dry them out. And once they're dried out, you actually cut the tops off. And then you actually take that first skin off of it. They store better without the skin. But I've also noticed that I'm seeing more and more of with our milder winters that they actually winter over in the ground.
Yeah, I saw some that wintered over. I was surprised.
And I have some gladiolas in my garden that have been there for 3 years.
Wow. Is it in a sunny spot?
No,
or?
Not really.
No, really?
Without digging them up?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, just there.
They
I said, I'm going to stop digging these and just see what happens.
Yeah, just see.
And
right?
They keep coming up.
Right?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's a good time to separate irises.
Uh-huh.
Also, mm-hmm. You can
right.
do that now.
Same thing. You're getting one of those little poaching shovels and just going digged out right down.
Yeah.
Separate
them out.
And you
want to leave the little toes because that's where the flowers come from.
Yeah. The other one that people dig up and store, if you so desire, are canna lilies.
Okay.
Oh,
canna
lilies. Canna
lilies.
Yeah.
And those you dig up, cut the tops off, and I think you store them upside down in peat moss, dried peat moss.
Goodness gracious.
Yeah, but you can look that up.
Mm-hmm.
But I do know that it's upside down.
You're storing all of these. I guess they're in the dirt, their peat moss, or the sand.
Sand, you
and
know,
then that's in there dark in there then mm-hmm. underneath there, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at it just like a normal temperature?
Yeah.
Cool, like your garage maybe?
Yeah
45 or so.
45? Mm-hmm.
If you don't want, these are all summer stuff or warmer. I mean, dahlias are from Mexico.
Right, you don't want them
and
to
freeze. Gladiolas are from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, canna lilies, I think, are Mediterranean.
I'm
not sure. I'll have to look it up. But they're all really don't like cold. And so to put them in storage real cold, you'll rot. They'll rot in there.
They don't like it.
No.
They don't like it.
Mm-mm. I have two little closets upstairs that are attached to these two bedrooms that when we remodeled the house, they never got any attention. And I thought, perfect,
mm-hmm.
right? Place to put stuff. No. They got too cold.
Really?
Yeah.
Too cold inside the
even inside
closet.
The house.
Wow.
Yeah. It was just too cold.
Uh-huh.
That's all right.
Wow.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You keep the door shut, let the cold stay on the other side. That's fine. Because the wall to the bedroom is insulated, but the walls to the outside weren't, you know.
I got bulbs in here I need to store.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. 5274-868-1866, KVNF now. And it's time is about the middle of the half hour for Lance's pet peeve.
My pet peeve. This is a new feature, right?
Okay, let's hear it.
Could be.
This time of year, you're winterizing sprinkler systems. And I really think we need to put drains on them instead of paying somebody $100 every year to blow out the sprinkler systems. And, you know, people driving around big trucks and air compressors and, you know, want to be sustainable and energy efficient. It's like, well, put drains on one time and they'll take care of the whole problem.
Drains on your sprinkler system.
Yeah, drains. Mm-hmm. Real simple.
Oh, I don't know.
Takes about 5 minutes.
It would be
five minutes. It sounds like a retrofit of a...
Okay.
No, to drain it. You open the drain, turn off the water to open the drains. It's very, very easy.
Uh-huh.
You know, where like the one, the three that I have to blow out, I have to go up a long, narrow driveway, pulling a rented air compressor. It takes me about an hour and a half to do all three of them. And then I have to back this thing down 100 yards down this long drive.
And the worst part is...
the backing down.
Yeah, that's rough.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, so... Anyway, okay, just I see it and it's like
something,
you know,
to think
and
about.
I asked the sprinkler guy if it was a state regulation that they had to set him up, because when I was doing sprinklers when I first moved here, we always put drains on everything.
Mm-hmm.
And he says no, and I, you know, so they just built in a business for somebody is what they did.
All right.
Mine are going to get blown out.
You get your little, you got a little system and you got a little air compressor that's part of the household stuff. Or do you buy it, pay somebody to come do it?
Yeah. Well. Kenny, if you're listening.
You're still blowing mine out.
Yeah.
you just come right on over. Well, you know, because it would be really hard to set up drains at my house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
because everything goes a different way. And where do you drain them from, each valve? I mean,
well,
how do you drain
each valve? How we did it was we'd put all the valves on PVC. And all of the actual sprinklers from the valves out to the sprinklers was black poly. Black poly is frost tolerant. And the PVC was always drained. There's always a valve put at the lowest spot.
Mm-hmm.
And so you had, you just open those up, that drain up, turn off the water, open up that drain, and we'd go and open up each of those valves, whether they're manual or automatic, for about a minute or so to drain all the water that was right next to the valve.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it.
You have valves on your system at your garden? Or
yes.
You do? Okay. Works for you.
Yeah. Yeah. Just.
I'll have to meditate on it.
Well, you have so much water stuff happen with you.
Oh, God, what a.
This year. That
I
would just blow that baby out and get done with it.
And get done with it, really.
Well, the next thing is to make it convenient.
Sure. You know, when you do it, make it convenient.
But most people put the pumps and all the stuff out of the way so you don't have to see it and stuff. And that's really a major mistake, to make it convenient.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you put it in.
Okay.
There you go.
5274-868-1866, KVNF now. I had a question about cutting my sage back. I think actually Anthony asked this question a few weeks back.
You got, just do
go
it.
Go for it.
Just go for
it. Cut it to the ground.
Yeah.
And this is the time to do
it,
fall versus spring.
You cut it to the ground?
I cut mine to the ground.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you have Dalmatian sage?
Mm-hmm. No, we're talking two sages.
Okay.
But she's talking Russian sage, and so am I.
And I'm talking edible.
Edible sage.
Oh, sure.
Edible sage, not till the spring.
Okay.
Unless you see something dead now.
Yeah. Well, you're going to harvest. I mean, that's what I've been doing. I harvested a bunch of leaves. So you just go out there and you get those beautiful, you know, vital leaves. You bring them in and, you know, and it just goes crazy.
Yeah.
in the spring, it's nuts. And it looks really bad at first. And then you go out there and you kind of fiddle with it a little bit and cut it back. And it's
just comes right back.
Comes right back. Mm-hmm. Oh, man, I got to get rid of that one. It's huge.
What are you getting rid of? Something before the winter?
I don't know.
Spring comes. You might meditate over the winter.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, it depends. You know, the projects line up, and you just get done what you can get done and try to stay in some sort of a priority of what you need to do and not, and what you can put off until spring.
Right.
And hopefully we'll have good water this spring. That would be a real treat.
Always pray for good water.
Man. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to let it go.
It is what it is. Exactly. Allow it to happen, Miss Lulu.
And then deal.
Yeah. How about rose pruning? Anything to do with roses coming back?
No.
Anything like that?
I just had some people call me up wanting to know when to prune and how to prune this time of year because they still were in the mode. And I says, well, you don't want to prune at all.
You don't want to encourage growth.
Yeah, encourage growth. And also those new cuts, the cold can go down in that and kill the branch down farther.
Yeah.
So no more pruning on roses.
No more pruning.
Okay.
But what about, you know, I have little mama.
Yeah.
The apple.
Yeah. I got to get my chainsaw. I got to get a new, spinner part chain for my chainsaw. The part that actually cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I can't believe.
What are you
going to
do, cut down most of her big branches that are?
I'm going to cut down the one that's dead, and thin out a couple of the others that are. And then, you know, it's sad. But I also have a pear tree that's got a little bit of fire blight in it. So I think I'll take that out. And they all need, it was a big growth year. You know,
went crazy a little bit, huh?
Yeah, I think maybe because there was no fruit.
There was no fruit, so they grew more.
Yeah,
right.
Definitely.
Oh, that reminds me, I could still get some grapes.
Still have grapes on the vine? Really?
No, the Concords are gone, but the ones that were out by the chicken yard, I thought, oh, yeah, whatever, you know. But now that they didn't get frozen,
they're really sweet.
Check those out,
yeah. They'll be really sweet.
Yeah. And there's some sort of I've talked to you before about this, that they seem like they're what Reliance was before the seeds were bred out of them.
Mm-hmm.
They have
the old
seeds, but they really have that Reliance attitude and flavor. And they look like a Reliance, too. You know, they have that color. So.
Mm-hmm. Yummy.
One of those popular varieties from back in the day.
Yeah, yeah. And you can still enjoy them.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And the color on them,
beautiful. It's such a beautiful time of year.
So
it's
gorgeous,
just the light, when the light comes through the trees, man.
Nice.
It's awesome.
527-486-8186, KVNF now. You know, a couple of weeks ago when Amber was here, you guys were talking about turning soil, and that's just part of the fall preparation, right?
Yeah, just I'm turning soil. And I keep on doing it as things come out. And so the squash area got all cleaned up, and right next to the edge of that was a row of amaranth. So that whole area needs to be done now.
Yeah, my garden looks terrible right now because it hasn't gone on to that phase. The squash vines are all just in a huge pile, and, you know. The tomatoes didn't get – I still have sun gold.
Nice.
How special is that this time of year?
That's amazing.
Yeah. They're still out there pushing. Yeah. So
the main thing is – well, this is what I do in my garden is I wherever I grow corn, I cut everything to the ground, and I take those stalks out of – the root systems out of the ground, every last one of them. Sunflowers and all the – roots to stock base of the corn stalks. Into the compost. I take them out of the ground.
Right. Because we've often talked about leaving roots in the ground.
Yeah. But these guys
are
so
too big and they're too woody.
Okay.
Yeah,
gotcha.
They won't break down.
No.
I'd have to take them out next year.
Right.
Okay.
And I'll do the same with the amaranth stalks. And those will go down, they'll go about 7-8 inches down before they start getting small.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And did you harvest that amaranth yet?
I harvested it. What day was that? Sunday. Sunday or Monday.
That's done.
Yeah.
Drying.
It's in the house. They're drying on the stalk. Same with the pearl millet.
Mm-hmm.
I dry it on the stalk for another 2 weeks or so.
Okay. And Lulu, you're drying plums. What else you got drying?
The plums are dried. I'm still drying sun golds because I have those. I have sage, tarragon. Mm. What do I have hanging in there? Wait, I just pulled them off. Sage, tarragon, a little bit of fennel. The fennel seeds are fabulous right now. Parsley, I'm going to dry a little more. Thyme, marjoram, rosemary. Did I say sage? Sage.
Yeah. That fennel seed, is it what kind of variety?
It's the bronze fennel.
Okay. I still have some out there. I've been slowly harvesting it.
Yeah. I've decided that when the seeds aren't all the way brown, when they mm-hmm. still have a little bit of zing in them, boy, are they good.
Yeah.
Whew. I love that licorice fennel flavor.
Yeah, you're gonna. I'm gonna use it as little breath mints.
Yeah,
huh?
I'm gonna mm-hmm. use them this winter. I'm gonna use them. I'm just gonna have them as a novelty thing in my pocket.
I like it
for people, you mm-hmm. know, when I'm skiing with them and stuff, and that'll be really fun. You know,
yeah, totally.
They get off on that.
Yeah.
Oh wow, you grew this. Wow, man. You know, it's like. Uh-huh.
What a concept.
What a concept.
Hey, it's Hope here in Paonia with a squash question. Good evening, Hope.
Hi, guys. How are you doing? Can you hear me all right?
Yeah.
Yes, you're fine. Hi, Hope.
Great. Hey, Lulu. The operations manager up here at the farm is on vacation, and I'm not really a great botanical person because I take care of goats.
Yeah,
and
you're the goat walker. Right?
So I have some squash in the field with the first frost, the first official frost mm-hmm. that I can see. It looks like frost to me. Of course, I'm a southerner, and not sure I can actually define a Paonia frost, but it looks like a frost. And I'm wondering if I need to pull these out of the field.
Are you talking your winter squash, pumpkins, and...
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. Well, if they didn't get damaged last night, then, you know, you don't have to run out there right now and get them out. But, yeah, they're going to want to come in pretty soon.
Soon.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
If they didn't... Did they get frosted last...
Well, they look kind of normal to me, actually.
Okay.
But that's a good sign.
I don't know how much they had to endure, though. You think mm-hmm. I could have lost them all?
No, mm-hmm. I doubt it. They've been out there. They've been hanging out. I'm sure they've hardened themselves off. They probably were under some leaves.
Okay.
You know, did the leaves turn black and die down on them and all?
No.
Oh, well. Mm-mm. Don't worry about it.
Not entirely.
You're fine.
Yeah.
You're fine.
When you do go to harvest them, they have to have a stem.
Yeah,
that's the important thing.
Yeah. You want to leave as much of the stem on as possible. But you don't want to leave where the stem attaches to the old vine.
Mm-hmm.
I always cut the stem clean from the old vine.
Okay.
So that you just, because the stem has like a built-in end that keeps the air from going in, and if you leave the old vine on, sometimes that'll rot and infiltrate back in there. So, you just want to, but you're probably fine.
Yeah,
the operation.
That's a lot of worry.
Yeah,
but I mean, who would know that? This is where I call you guys, and thank you so much.
Thank you.
I mean, how am I supposed to know that? You know?
Well, you know, that's okay. If you need me to come up and take a look at it, I can do that too.
Yeah. Lulu's going to come up and help you milk a goat.
Yes.
I appreciate it.
All right.
Okay.
Well, thanks
thank you
for calling.
Wow.
Bye.
In charge of the garden when you're
yeah.
this time of year, that could be kind of nerve wracking.
Who left?
Yeah, right.
Willie left.
Oh, okay.
Willie
now
went on a raft
it.
trip. Well, yeah, you know, it's one of those things, right? You got a raft, you got, you know, and if you don't start saying yes, you end up not going all summer.
Yep.
So
you got to do it.
You just got to go. You just got to just say, I'm out of here. I'm going on the river. So
yeah, there you go. Okay. Hey, Lance, you had a couple different grains that had come up. Your rye is up.
The rye and the emmer.
Emmer.
Is an Aiken type of wheat or old type of wheat.
Right. And I kind of wanted to let people know about this grain school that's going on at the Norwood Livery and the Blue Grouse Bakery down in Norwood. It's Saturday, November 4th, 8:30 to 5 p.m., and you're going to learn about ancient heritage grains, expert techniques, hand-on skills to grow, mill, market, and bake with locally adapted grains.
That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Super cool.
If I lived down there, I'd be all over that.
Yeah. 327-4393 or go to rockymountainseeds.org and then check out the Norwood Grain School link there.
Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah, grains, it's amazing the amount of grain you get for, we always think of big combines and stuff like that, and that's not the case.
Not the case.
No, you don't need that, and it's, you know, all, they call it, what is the term for that? subsistence gardening, because you're growing your own food, so they call it subsistence. I think it's a strange word, but you grow, I think, 200 square feet for two people is enough grain for a year.
Oh, wow.
And if, you know, 400 or so, you know, is it for a family of four.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not as much as you would think.
Okay. And I know Blue Grouse Bakery has called before, and you guys have talked about ancient grains.
Yeah.
So
awesome. It's a good idea.
Great idea.
It's a great idea.
And it's easy. And if you don't get to it, you can always ask me. I'm doing it all the time.
Okay. Yeah. Good deal. All right, that brings us to the end of another half hour of Turning Worms. We will be back next Tuesday at 6:30. It's DJ Leah Love coming up with One Woman's Perspective next. Thanks for listening to As the Worm Turns on KVNF.
Okay. Have a good evening.
Good night, everybody.
A shine to, oh, who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so, lowly, low and low.